Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties with our music intro, so yeah. We'll just use a verbal intro. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and you know what? It's time to talk sports. We got a lot to talk about. Give us a call, 718-664-9098, like always, rayandtaytoday.com. Your emails to rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, iTunes, YouTube. We're here for you. We got the NBA playoffs, the NFL draft. A little review. Look, we're not crazy. You know, we all know. You could analyze these guys. It takes 3 to 4 years to really know. But Ray and Tay will give you our top three teams, see what we think teams did, assess it. A little MLB, some hot teams, and NHL playoff update. Ray, right off the bat, did the L.A. Lakers get it right in hiring Bill Walton's son, Luke Walton, the assistant coach from the Golden State Warriors? What do you think about that hire? And is it solely based on roster, whether his success is, or do you think he's the right guy no matter what?
Phil Jackson isn't out there to bring back as the coach. So I don't know who's better for this Laker team. So in that respect, I think it was a great job by the Lakers. Coaching these past 2 years at Golden State can't be anything but good. He was the head coach for how many games? Like 20, I think.
21, 24 in a row, I think.
I think Kerr was the coach for 43, so he coached for 39 games, something like that. Anyway, great hire. I hate to see Byron Scott not be successful, but it was time to move on from Byron, and I don't know who else was better. So to me, you know, you could have taken a shot on a Kevin Ollie, a guy who was a 13-year NBA veteran, but this guy's a Laker. He won with the Lakers. He knows the Lakers. He knows the Western Conference. He comes from a winning tradition now in Golden State. So I think it was a perfect hire.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, being a coach's son, he, like you said, he's been a Laker. The experience this year, look, people will say, oh, it's with Steph and Clay and Draymond. But, you know, he got his feet wet. And the kid, you know, he wasn't overwhelmed. So I give him credit. I think, look, we all know they need and Simmons, they need some shooters, right? Because he's spoiled with a ton of shooters. The Lakers have no shooters, just Lou Williams. And maybe he needs some luck. Maybe he needs Durant this year or Durant and Westbrook to come together in a package deal next offseason if Durant opts in for 1 year. You know, I think everybody knows and Jeannie knows, it's going to take some time. So kudos and congrats to him and Lakers Nation. I think it's a great hire. NBA playoffs, 2 game 7s, Ray. And I think not only did both the home teams win, and sometimes, you know, there's some questionable calls, like maybe in the Raptors-Pacers series, but I think DeRozan and Lowry didn't play great. It was more Norman Powell and Corey Joseph and some other guys, but when they had to, they had some big plays. Lowry had a big shot and, you know, did some things. Now they face each other. How do you see the Heat Raptors series, and is there any way that our boy Chris Bosh could come back at all, or is it just leave that alone?
I would say leave it alone. You're at a point in your career where you've won 2 titles, and the only thing is Alonzo Mourning faced this, right? So Miami, ironically enough, have experience with big men and health issues. But when you start talking about blood clots and you start talking about mortality on the court, I mean, yeah. I would say leave it alone, but you know, the doctors would never let him go on the court if there's any chance for that. So if you get the thumbs up from the doctors, then maybe you put him on the court. But I've written him off for this year. Let him take the off season. Let him get ready. I don't know if he'll ever be the same, but for me personally, as a human being, I don't know that I need to see Chris Bosh in these playoffs. His life and outside of basketball is much more important. Now, in terms of the series, you know what? This is going to be a good series. I think Toronto is huffing and puffing, and they finally are start to blowing down the doors, and they're starting to win games that they should win and game sevens. And this team, to me, has a legitimate chance to really come into their own and for the next few years to challenge Cleveland in the East, depending on if Cleveland stays together. The Heat, veterans, Dwayne Wade and Goran Dragic look like he did
great
in
game.
Phoenix.
Oh,
yeah,
what a game.
He said, it's so funny because he was the guy who picked up the slack for Dwayne Wade because Dwayne Wade was so physically exhausted, but he said he was physically exhausted. But he said his teammates picked him up, and then, Dang and Whiteside. So this is going to be a good series. I think this might be another seven-gamer.
You might be right. I still, at the end of the day, I look at Whiteside against Valanciunas, Wade and Dragic against Lowry and DeRozan. Damari Carroll has got to find his name and his game, and he's going to have to battle Joe Johnson and Josh Richardson. I think the Heat and Richardson, and you hope he's okay. I think he got a little banged up, but hopefully he'll be fine. But him and Justice Winslow, I think the youth off the bench is really giving a little spark to the Heat. So I got the Miami Heat beating the Raptors in six. Look, if you're looking for motivation because your own writers in your town are writing you off and the other national writers, that's a bad look for me for the Raptors. And I feel like they got through this series, but only because Miles Turner is still too young and Monte Ellis is not as good as he used to be. I felt like the Pacers just didn't have enough help. Real quick, what are your thoughts before we start to talk about the West and Cavs Heat? But Vogel, do you bring him back? I mean, I thought he did a heck of a job coaching. I'd be surprised if they didn't sign him back up. What are your thoughts on that?
I did too. I mean, again, Red Auerbach's not out there. sometimes cats just go crazy. They're like, we're not happy with being a seven seed. Really?
They could bring back Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson played for the Pacers.
That's true. Time for some action. Action Jackson. I hear you, but I think Vogel's okay. I actually like him. And, that team totally changed who they were in the last 2 years. Their identity has completely changed. And they lose their superstar, and he needs to kind of regain his confidence. And, frankly, their roster is nothing to write home about. I think that Vogel did a fine job. I would definitely bring him back. I mean, I don't know what Larry Bird's thinking, but I don't have a problem bringing him back whatsoever.
Yeah, they're probably ahead of schedule. I mean, the way that he got it going and the way they played, I thought it was, pretty darn impressive. So Cavs are up by, 4 or 5 right now. How do you see this series? For me, I kind of look at it like I think the Cavs, they have, come out of their big three slumber. JR, he's got a couple threes tonight already. If Kyrie's shooting good, which, he was 5 for 9 a little while ago. I just feel like I hate to say they're on cruise control because that's almost like not fair or disrespectful. I think the Hawks could get a game or two just because, if they get shooting or, they can get, maybe get the Cavs in foul trouble or the Cavs have a bad night shooting. I think the Cavs will win this series in six. Can't get too excited about the Hawks, honestly. And I love Jeff Teague and Millsap, but it's just, you need more people. It's not enough, man.
No, I think this is pain. I think Cleveland could sweep them. They might win a game in Atlanta, but I don't see it going more than 5. I think Cleveland has woken up. And not only that, but given what they went through last year, that Kevin Love got injured on a freak accident and Kyrie Irving got injured in game one of the finals, I think Cleveland wants to play fewer games. They just want to play games that matter. They don't want to mess around. Them and the San Antonio Spurs, I think, are the two teams that San Antonio because of their age, and everybody but, you know, Kawhi Leonard is old on that team, and Cleveland because of their injury history in last year's playoffs, I think they're really, really going to concentrate on not giving away games. I mean, nobody wants to give away games in the playoffs, right? But those two teams in particular are not going to waste effort.
Yeah, you're right. So let's go to that series. That was a beating the other night, Ray. I threw it out there on Twitter, and I really believe it, and other people are talking about it today. But, you know, that type of loss, and if they ever beat them in like four or five or even six and it's ugly and the Spurs really dominate the Thunder, I can see Durant, you know, checking out and saying, you know what, the West is too much. You know, not that he's a quitter, but just assessing the West is too much. Let me go battle LeBron in the East, and maybe I go down to South Beach in Miami with that young roster, Whiteside, a veteran Wade who could take so much less money to bring in Durant. Maybe even Bosch comes back. Maybe they keep Joe Johnson for less money, and they kind of have like a little versatile super team. What would you think about, Durant to Miami, and how good that might potentially be? That could be ridiculous.
I could see Durant leaving, but I don't know that he could go to Miami, though, because that's LeBron's movie. You know what I mean? Isn't that a little bit weird if, what, 6 years later, Kevin Durant takes his talents to South Beach?
I know, but you know what it is? I think it's Pat Riley. And he could sell that story, I'm helping Pat to revenge losing LeBron. You know, I love D. Wade. He could sell that in terms of, you know, I mean, let's be honest. I think, you know, we talked about this off air. Kawhi and Paul George, great two-way small forwards, probably both ahead of Carmelo. But I think Kevin Durant, you know, you talk about what your boy Cuban said, but I think Russell Westbrook plays both sides and does everything. I think Durant is a little lax on the defensive end, if we're being kind of honest. And, you know, it could be blasphemous, and we'll see, you know, game two tonight. But, Ray, Kawhi might be better than Durant.
Better is tough to say, but I tell you what.
Different.
I will say without hesitation.
More efficient.
I would say without hesitation, which player do I want on my team if I'm building a championship? I want Kawhi Leonard because he impacts more possessions than Kevin Durant does.
Back-to-back Kevin defensive Durant, player of the year, right?
Yeah, Kevin Durant impacts every offensive possession, but you could argue Kawhi Leonard impacts almost every defensive possession. And because he's in a system with San Antonio where they have a lot of scorers, he scores 20 a game on a team with multiple, you know, MVP caliber players, and he's so efficient. No wasted movement, no wasted anything, and he has an impact on both sides of the floor. So is he better than Kevin Durant? Can't say that, but I want him on my team. If I want a small forward and I want to win a championship, I'm taking Kawhi Leonard. And that's hard to say because Kevin Durant's going to go as an all-time great. So, but Kawhi Leonard, to me, like I told you before we talked about this offer, Kawhi Leonard is almost like mad science. He's almost like the perfect basketball player. You know, LeBron James was dropped down from the heavens with that body and that physical ability. And Kawhi Leonard does have those long arms. And
wait, did you hear about the heavens opening up for Space Jam 2? Hollywood Reporter, LeBron James starring in Space Jam 2.
Are you serious? Oh,
Ray, I don't like that at all. But good for him. The kids, it's a movie to take the kids to, I guess, but
But no, Kawhi Leonard, I tell you what, man, I had nothing but praise for Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant. Now you think about it, Kevin Durant went to the finals, won game one, and then was swept by the Heatles, you know, right in their second year together. And ever since then, you know, they haven't really lived up to snuff. He has a fellow superstar. He's got some size in Cantor and Ibaka. They had Harden in the beginning, and then they had Reggie Jackson. So, you know, their roster maybe hasn't been superb, but it's not, you know, it's not the Knicks that Patrick Ewing was carrying on his back in the early 90s. I mean, so, yeah, Kevin Durant, at a certain point, people are going to start to say, man, you know, you need to be challenging the NBA elite. So
he's
he
a stud.
Could leave.
So,
he's absolutely a stud.
Where does this series go? And we know, I think the Warriors will probably sweep the Blazers, and I would not play Curry. But OKC Spurs, is it going seven, or are the Spurs winning at home in game five? Could it go? You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to, I guess tonight we'll get a better feel. For some reason, I'm thinking it's going to go seven. I can't believe OKC is not going to show up. But if LaMarcus Aldridge, Ray, if he's shooting like how he shot, there's no answer. Ibaka can't stick him. Durant, no, their big seven-footers can't stick him. He's too quick. There's no answer for LaMarcus.
Yeah, I agree. The problem that Oklahoma City has is they're not great closing out games. They've played great basketball in stretches against Golden State and against against San Antonio. But the problem is those two teams out-executed them down the stretch. I do think they're good enough to hold home court. Can they win in San Antonio is the question. I'm not sure this year, this team. So I'll say San Antonio in six. But I think it's going to be a good series. And I think like the series, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago when they went to the finals where San Antonio jumped on them first two games and then they won the next four.
Yeah.
And even 2 years ago when Ibaka got hurt and the San Antonio went to the finals, these two teams go at it. And I don't think by any stretch that game one is going to impact them in game two. I think they'll be fine. I think this will be a good series.
How impressed were you with Klay and just his shooting, his overall performance? Because, I mean, him and Draymond, it's hard to say that they're underrated because of how great Steph has been this season. But I think they're showing you, and people were trying to say, oh, does it take away from Steph and his MVP and his greatness? Like, no way it doesn't take away. What it shows you is that the team is just loaded. And they've got a bunch of ball handlers, a bunch of shooters, rotating big guys. Now Barzal is coming in and rotating, you know, with Bogut and Azili. I mean, they're so versatile everywhere you go, Iguodala, Barnes. So, to me, I think this is going to be a sweep. Maybe McCullough and Lillard get one game at home. But the bigger question is philosophically, like, how do you say win without Curry? I don't want to bring him back and he get hurt again like we did trying to be cute last series. It's not worth it. You can handle the team without
him. I'm not playing Curry until I lose a game. And maybe not even two games. But until I lose – I mean, unless the doctors say he's at 95%, right? If Curry's not at 90-plus percent, not playing him until we lose a game.
Yeah, it's hard to see the guy play to me. I just – it's not worth it, especially because you know the Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, he is going to be tested physically, and they're going to need every juice and ounce of his knee, his ankle – you know what I mean? I'd rather that guy be.
I will say this, though. I will say this, that if I know Steph Curry, which I don't, but I would imagine that he's a very rhythm player.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's hard to just drop him in and say against game competition in the Western Conference Finals against, you know, Oklahoma City or San Antonio and say, be the presumptive, you know, two-time MVP, be yourself, and go out there and do your thing. You know what I mean?
So you want him to play like maybe a clinching game. If they're up 3-1 or 3-0, put him in for one game.
That's the only reason to play him at less than 100% is to make sure that he has some rhythm going into that next round.
Yeah, that's a good assessment. You feel bad. You got to feel so bad for the Clippers, man, and just how all that stuff went down. So, but look, it's time to leave the NBA playoffs alone, and we have got to recap a very historic and unique weekend. Let's talk NFL.
You're now listening to NFL Talk. Ray.
Man, listen, you got guys drafted, undrafted free agents, and now today a bunch of veterans just giving their walking papers. And, you know, gosh, you got to feel bad for guys. The NFL is just like, it's no mercy, man. No mercy. So obviously, Ray, there's so many feel-good stories. The unfortunate pop culture, it was everywhere today. Today Show, Wendy Williams, Ellen, everybody's talking about Laremy Tunsil. I mean, in an hour and 43 minutes to go from, let's say, 6 to 13, because he might not have been taken before, but Ronnie Stanley, lineman, taken by the Ravens, and they said they were going to take Tunsil, to lose $7 million over a hacked video that you shouldn't have even had. You know, you could question or debate whether he did, you know, should have done it or not. That's his personal business. But then delete it, right? And so you feel so bad for the kid only because he's passed every drug test. And, you know, he seems to be, you know, trying to, you know, be on point and took the preparation for the draft serious, his pro day, everything. And he got sabotaged. And they said it wasn't the stepfather, that it might have been an agent. Supposedly he gave his password to multiple different agents, and he only picked one, and maybe one of the other ones was vindictive. Either way, how much do the Dolphins benefit, and how messed up was that whole situation? Shocking, right, to see it all play out, the best reality TV show.
You know, this is the world we live in, unfortunately. So social media can do a lot of good. And, you know, in times of need, it can rally troops, and literally and figuratively. And it can spread the word for good causes. But it can also do this. And unfortunately, these kids need to realize that they're not kids anymore. You want to play in the big time. You want to play in front of 80,000 fans. Well, you have 120, 150, 200 million fans on social media of the NFL. And guess what? Everything makes it to the internet. So if you're doing something that you don't want people to know, don't do it, you know? And so it's terrible, and it cost them $7 million. But the only good thing you can say out of this is a couple of things. One, hopefully, you know, most of these guys make their big money in their second contract, right?
Yes.
So hopefully you'll make up for it. Hopefully you'll learn from it, and better to learn early in your early 20s than to learn, you know, later in life. So you learn from this, you move on, you go to the Dolphins instead of the Ravens. So maybe a slightly better team, you get better weather. But yeah, it's terrible. You know what?
You
want people to be judged strictly on their ability, strictly on their achievement, and their tape, and what they can do on the football field. But unfortunately, it's not like that. I mean, it's the whole package, especially in this NFL. You're judged on so many other off-the-field issues as well.
So, obviously, we had the emotional stories of Jalen Smith and Miles Jack, and, you know, both dropped to the second round. I think we were more surprised about Miles Jack dropping to the second than, you know, the Cowboys selecting Jalen. But I guess, let me ask you this. You're a Cowboy fan. How do you feel about your owner, one, maybe ignoring your need in terms of defensive line and going for the running back and then an injured player who's probably out for the year? But then after he doesn't trade up for the quarterback he said he wanted in Paxton Lynch and or possibly even later on Connor Cook, he kind of, I don't want to say embarrasses Dak Prescott, but like, is there a point where you just want him to shut up and like not, you know what I mean? Like not say to the world like, oh, I should have gone for it. I've done it in all my oil deals and I should have just gone for it for Paxton Lynch. And, you know, I mean, you drafted Dak Prescott. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't like that. I want to know how you feel about that.
So a lot of different emotions going through Cowboy Nation right now. They loved Ezekiel Elliott from the beginning.
Yeah, we both said it.
Yeah, we said that it looks like they'll take him. I didn't want to take him at four. I just don't know that he'll be Adrian Peterson. I mean, at four, you need to be Adrian Peterson or something close to it to take a number four overall pick to take a running back. If he is, then great. I'm not sure he is, but let's say, okay. Jalen Smith, you know what? That's a calculated risk. Never mind taking somebody that could have been a top three. He might have been the number three pick in this draft had he not blown out his knee in a freak play. So,
totally.
You know what? You shoot for the moon. I'm okay with that. Interesting that he went before Miles Jack. Two picks before Miles Jack, I think. And Miles Jack was a guy that, they didn't think his knee was so severely damaged. So it's interesting that the Cowboys must have loved Jalen Smith's potential. But you're right, though. Dak Prescott was a Heisman Trophy candidate for 2 years. Paxton Lynch was not, and a couple of these other guys, were not. So he's an accomplished player, and you're right. It felt like he got disrespected. It's like, wait a minute. You drafted me. I'm your guy. Shouldn't I be your homie? Now, maybe this is all – he's smarter than everybody. You know what I mean? And he's lowering expectations, and maybe he's playing this whole thing, playing us like a violin. Maybe. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, this is your squad. This is the squad you drafted, and this is the squad you're rolling with. Don't talk to me about – the draft is over. Don't talk to me about Paxton Lynch. Don't talk to me about Connor Cook. Don't talk to me about, any other quarterback out there. Talk to me about the guys you're rolling with. And so, yeah, I hear you. That was weird to me.
So let's get to our top three. One quick thing. You got to love Moritz Boehringer, the German player, and Mike Mayock was basically talking to the Vikings and Smith and Zimmer and saying, look, he's on our set. We're talking to him. Got to take this kid, And sure enough, the next time, I guess 2 minutes later, they picked and they took the first German-born player. He played for the Unicorns in Germany, and he learned about the NFL watching YouTube videos of his teammate, Adrian Peterson. That's a pretty amazing story. 6'4", ran a 4.4 Ray. That's what it's – I don't know. That warms your heart.
That's
what
awesome.
Sports are all about.
A YouTube video of Adrian Peterson, and now he's in the NFL, and Adrian Peterson's his teammate.
I mean, that's a Hollywood – I mean, honestly, that's a movie. That's a freaking great movie. And, you talk about the undrafted players. Remember I said 15 quarterbacks, 15 went. I thought it was interesting. Seattle took Vernon Adams and Trayvon Boykin, who I don't know if he'll, play quarterback, but, they're both sort of they might get rid of Tavares Jackson, and then it's like the three replicas in the quarterback room for the Seahawks. And then, we had a caller, a friend of mine, her son, my friend Grace, Martha's Vineyard, her son from UMass, cornerback, Randall Jett did not get drafted. But then right afterwards is when they sign all the undrafted free agents, and these NFL teams, they're so busy making calls. And he got an offer and a tryout with the Green Bay Packers. So that is so awesome. And, hopefully we'll be able to get him on the show, talk to him about his experience. He's going out to Green Bay Thursday. And so I just wish the kid the best. And it's a great story. It's really awesome.
That's great.
All these undrafted kids. So, look, I'm going to take a smack at it first. Three teams. I liked a bunch of different teams. But for me, the number one team that I think I really liked, and like I said, look, we'll know in 3 or 4 years, right? But I like what the Jaguars did, Ray. I mean, it's hard to, debate with the offseason of free agency, their moves. And then you get, and Fowler comes back from last year. I mean, you can't include that in this draft. But, hey, he was injured, and now he'll, be a rookie as well. But you get Jalen Ramsey. And then Miles Jack in the second round. I mean, you could almost stop right there. And I'm just, blown away. They get a nice pass rusher from the Terps. Yo, Terps. And then I like Sheldon Day. I mean, in the fourth round, to get the defensive tackle from Notre Dame. I think overall I was pretty impressed with what the Jaguars did. And it's nice to see Gus Bradley is building up something. And even they took Brandon Allen from Arkansas to quarterback. And maybe that means they want to, get rid of Chad Henne and have an inexpensive, backup to Blake Bortles, which I get. And Brandon Allen's not bad. So number one for me was the Jaguars, man. Very impressed with what they did. And what they addressed, a couple of pass rushers and defensive ends, even in the later rounds, and thought it was pretty good. What's your team?
So, I'll give you three. I don't know that I'll rank them. I'll just give you three. So I thought, look, the most important position in all of sports potentially, but certainly in the NFL, is quarterback. And so to me, people had mixed grades about this, but I'll say a top draft team to me is the Denver Broncos. Not the overall top team, but I think they did a great job of getting Paxton Lynch, moving up and getting their guy. Because what were their alternatives? They tried to sniff out Ryan Fitzpatrick. They tried to sniff out Colin Kaepernick. And maybe the price was too much. Maybe they didn't have the cap room. I love that pick. They ended up getting Gotsis, the defensive end from Georgia Tech. I think he'll contribute.
Yeah.
Not as high on him. I mean, I think he'll be fine. But I do love this kid, Justin Simmons, a safety from Boston College. Hard-hitting. They got another safety later, Will Parks from around your way in Arizona, might give them some depth at safety. And guess what? If he can stay healthy, Devontae Booker, mark my words, will be the starter in Denver.
He's a three-down back.
He could be a starter in Denver by midseason. And you know Terrell Davis was a fifth-round pick. They've had guys, Mike Anderson. They've had some, you know, relatively unknown cats step in there and do their thing in that Denver system and that Denver offense. So I like their pick, but it starts with getting Paxton Lynch and sliding up in the first round, taking him, filling some needs at defensive end safety, and maybe getting a starting running back. And I like the guard, Connor McGovern from Missouri. So I think they got some good depth, solid, solid draft from the Broncos.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Bears because they said, you know what, we're going to trade up a couple spots to get ahead of the Giants and get Leonard Floyd. Now, look, you know, he didn't play that much at Georgia. Maybe the people say he's a one-year wonder. But, you know, he pops off the tape because he can get to the quarterback. And that's what this league is all about, and Foxy knows that. You know, you like their second pick, you know, getting the offensive lineman from Kansas State. I thought, you know, they did pretty good with that. I like even, you know, some of their, you know, defensive picks, the defensive end, the linebacker, the safety. But, and they got a corner. But what is a steal to me that a lot of people don't know about. Langford last year, you know, running for Forte, he only ran 3.6 yards per carry. So he's not bad, but he's not a stud. But they got a grown man in the kid Howard, Jordan Howard from Indiana, Ray. I've seen a couple of those Big Ten Indiana games, and oh my goodness, ask Ohio State's defense about Howard, how he ran through them and rearrange Joey Bosa and all those boys. That's a serious, nice little pickup. So to me, I like what the Bears did. I think their defensive pieces are impressive. And, you know, Fox and free agency and everything, I think he's putting together a nice little team. I like the inside linebacker, too, from West Virginia. You put him with Trevathan and, you know, and the way the Bears go. So I like them.
All right. So – next up for me, a little controversial because some people, again, didn't have him as high, but I'm going to say the Miami Dolphins. So where's Hank when you need him? First of all, you could have stopped with the number one pick. Laremy Tunsil is, by all accounts, the best left tackle prospect in years. I mean, this guy physically is unbelievable. His measurables are off the charts. He's athletic. He's got footwork. He's got arms. He can defend. You know, I mean, he's a good pass blocker. He's a good run blocker. This guy really, you know, could have been the number one overall pick, right? If there wasn't all this moving up to get, you know, he could have easily been Marcus Mariota's, you know, guy for many years. The video comes out. He drops to 13, but to get – so assuming all this stuff flows over, right, to get a talent like that at 13, that's already a good draft, right?
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Then you figure they get a corner in Xavien Howard from Baylor. And
he's good.
He's good. He's really good. And then they have a guy that could be a bust because he fumbles a little bit too much in college. But he could be a playmaker, and that's Kenyon Drake. If you watch those Alabama games, Yeah, he's a special team stud. You watch the national championship game where it was a shootout. They needed Kenyon Drake. You know, Henry was the man, but Kenyon Drake was like thunder and lightning. He gave him that spark. So I really like that pick for the potential. And then they go with a couple of wide receivers. Now, they didn't have a fourth or a fifth round pick, so that put a lot of pressure on them. But they get the kid, Carew from Rutgers, and then they get a another wide receiver, Grant, from Texas Tech. So it's hard to project much from sixth and seventh round picks.
I never
saw
Carew, but I heard he's a player. So, but I never saw him with my own eyes.
Yeah, but I think ultimately it's the top half of that draft. So Tunsil, Howard, and Drake. And if this kid Carew turns out to be a player, then that's great. Sixth and seventh rounders are, like I said, throwing darts. But, you know, so far, I love Laramie Tunsil. You pencil him in for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, this was hard. I'll just say this. I like what the Bills and the Bengals and what the Giants did. Even the Seahawks. These guys all had great drafts. And definitely the Baltimore Ravens. They did their thing. But my third team, I got to go with the Houston Texans. People don't like Will Fuller, but I do like him because he helps DeAndre in terms of not getting double teamed. They say he makes drops, but you know what? He runs patterns good. Dude. He's always open in Notre Dame, and he's so fast. The legitimate 4.4 at almost 4.3. Then Nick Martin, you know, the center, and basically his brother is Zach Martin of the Cowboys. He was legit at Notre Dame, solid kid. Braxton Miller, another receiver. He'll develop, but you know what? You can use him anywhere. And Billy O'Brien will use him in trick plays. You know, he can be like Randall L. for the Steelers. And Braxton is just a superior athlete, you know. He's, you know, we got to mention the Buckeyes, 12 people drafted, and the last one was Cardale Jones to the Bills, but 12 players. So that set a nice little record. And then this Tyler Irving, the running back that they got from San Jose, he's kind of a little bit of a baller. People might not know that much about him, but, you know, he seems to be pretty good. I like the D tackle and the safety. So I think the Texans did themselves pretty nicely. And look, DeAndre Hopkins and Brock Osweiler have got to be happy, and they got some help, especially when you've got a new quarterback and you've got a center that could probably come in as a freshman, rookie, start for 10 years, and Nick Martin. You got to be happy with that if you're Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans.
So my third pick is the Minnesota Vikings.
Woo!
So you talked a little bit about your boy Big Mo. Moritz Boehringer. Let's see if he turns out to be, you know, at least can stretch the defense. We'll see. I mean, I don't know, right? 6'4". He's got some size. He's 6'4", 210. He's got some size, but they need help. Stephon Diggs needs help.
Yeah.
And to me, if you want to grade Teddy Bridgewater, you got to give him talent. And I believe the best player – a wide receiver was either Laquon Treadwell or Josh Doctson. Even though they didn't go first, and Laquon Treadwell went third in the round, but to get – and I believe him to have potential to be an impact wide receiver. So to get that big wide receiver in the first round I thought was great. But even better, to get Mackenzie Alexander, a starting cornerback, to me he'll be starting in no time. He might play
nickel.
Did you
see his story? He was picking oranges, Ray, from the
with
orange
his dad.
Grove.
That's right.
A week before the draft. You talk about work ethic? Wow. I love that kid. He's from Haiti. Yeah, that's a great story.
That's a great story. And they say that, you know, the linebacker brothers from Missouri can, you know, the great tackler, if he gets on the field, he'll be able to contribute. Will Beavers, a tackle from Western Michigan. So between getting those two wide receivers, between getting a starting corner, you know, they potentially have two starters, and then Beavers is a nice little rotational tackle. Might have to move inside to become a guard, but fill the needs with starters. I like that. Nice draft for Minnesota.
Okay. So, you know, listen, I think right now it's sort of see how things play out. I think the Rams got a couple of little weapons for Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, and Sam Bradford. That situation is kind of a mess. I don't think either one of those teams improved their roster so much for those quarterbacks. But, you know, we'll see. I think at the end of the day, both those guys will get on the field before the season ends, probably Goff week one, Wentz maybe like week six or week 10, depending on if Sam Bradford, you know, gets it together or Chase Daniel. Real quick, what do you think about the Jets and Hackenberg and the Bills with Cardale Jones and Connor Cook falling? Quick thought on the quarterbacks before we move on.
Jets.
Hey, you got to take one, right? Until you get the guy, you got to try. So I'm not upset.
Yeah, I mean, Paxton Lynch was available there in the first round. They decided not to go with him. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. Not that excited about Christian Hackenberg, period. And then certainly not as a second-round pick, taking him 51. I thought that was a little high. I mean, you called it about these quarterbacks going early, some of them anyway. I thought Connor Cook would get drafted higher. I thought Hackenberg would get drafted lower. You know what? I guess the Jets are looking at their roster and saying, we got trouble signing Fitzpatrick. We don't love Geno. We don't know about Petty. So we got to get somebody. So I don't know about Christian Hackenberg. So question, TBD, but not that excited as a Jet fan.
Yeah, that's fair. So let's get excited about the NHL playoffs, Ray, and with some hockey and some baseball. The Lightning are looking like they're it might be too much for the Islanders. What are your thoughts about that series? It's staying in the East, that series, and then Capitals and Penguins, which could be a classic battle if they keep, you know, going at it.
So I want to see the Capitals take care of the Penguins. I just want to see them take care of their business. It's time for them to show that, you know, they were basically the best team in hockey all year long. And it's time. Now our Islanders, you know, maybe they're a year or two ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
But you know what? They might be able to – I don't know. They might be able to go six or seven games. I'm not writing them off just yet.
No, I'm not giving up either. But it just seems like the Lightning, is they're kind of showing their experience a little from last year.
And Tampa Bay's hurt, but they're still playing well. The Western Conference, you know, I had my Anaheim team going all the way. Nashville took them out. So that, you know, to me –
But San Jose looks like they're going to take care of Nashville probably.
Yeah, and Dallas looks tough. You know, they can score. So between Ben and Sagan, and if they get a little bit of defense, a little bit of goaltending, they're a tough team. So you know what? This NHL playoffs, it's funny because we had a great first round in terms of game sevens and game sixes. And so
right.
I hope we get that in the next round because, you know, I love playoff hockey, and I feel like this year there aren't that many compelling stories, but maybe as the playoffs go on, we'll start to get more into some off the field and some stories. That
it might have been
really
more
cool.
Fascinating, I think, if the Blackhawks were still in it. I'll tell you this though: look, the Penguins are up 2-0 right now in the Capitals, end of first, so they're surely going to try to make this a good series. So we'll see how that happens. And like you said, man, you want Alex to get his shot at a Stanley Cup Finals. I think everybody who likes and respects greatness in hockey and great players, you'd like to see, you know, Alex get a shot to, you know, hold up the trophy. You know, you kind of want to see him do it. Lord Stanley. You know,
yeah, sure.
Hey, how about this? The Maple Leafs winning the lottery and potential number one pick is from Scottsdale, Austin Matthews. That's, you know, we got some hockey rinks out here, Ray. I'll let you know, man. It's hot out here, but we got some hockey rinks and some players. That's awesome.
Well, you know what? The great one found his way to Phoenix eventually for L.A. and then Phoenix, you know, obviously went to St. Louis and New York and whatever. That's great. That's great. A U.S.-born player. I think the last time U.S.-born player was taken number one overall was Patrick Kane in 2007, and you know how big Daddy Kane's been doing. He's going to be, you know, writing all the records for American-born players. So that's great. That's awesome. Now, it's hard to top Connor McDavid. This guy, you know, this past draft was just, you know, maybe one will go down as one of the best of all time. But it is nice to see young American hockey players, you know, growing up. Just a little weird to see them coming from Phoenix, Arizona. But go ahead. Why not?
Yeah, no, definitely. So Let's talk about baseball, man. I mean, look, it's an interesting start of the season. There have been a lot of fascinating stories, good and bad, with obviously an 80-game suspension and, you know, all these different things.
Oh, D, what's going on with D?
You know, teams are basically played about, you know, most teams have played about 25 games, you know. So you're getting sort of a good picture of who some of these teams are. And I'd say to me, the Cubs, the White Sox, you know, the Nationals, and now the Red Sox, you know, that NL West is going to be probably go down to the last week. All those teams seem like they're kind of average. I don't know what's going on with the Dodgers, but the Nats and Mets are going to battle probably all year, you know, and that's going to probably come down to health. But what's sort of your surprise at this, you know, I don't want to say quarter, you know, through, but let's say 25, 26 games through. Is there sort of a shock team?
There's a couple.
Yeah.
There's a couple. So first shocker is how bad the Houston Astros are. I mean, everybody had them winning the whole, you know, potentially winning the American League. The Astros are the worst team besides the Twins, so they're the second worst team.
That hurts.
Second worst team in the American League. And if you project that out, you know, to the National League as well, there's only what? The Braves and the Twins are the only teams that are worse. So what happened in Houston? This team was awesome and, you know, still roster wise. George Springer can't hit. They've got
They have some pitching problems, too.
Yeah, they got some pitching problems, absolutely. So that is a huge, huge disappointment, the Astros. And on the flip side, I will say, in the National League, the Philadelphia Phillies are 15
wow.
and 10. And
that's,
I thought that they would be like the Braves.
Like
the Braves
5 and 20.
16 and 18. I thought they would be terrible. All-time bad. I looked at their roster, and I thought them and the Braves together – could win 105, 110 games. But kudos to the Phillies for putting up a decent start to the season right now at 15 and 10.
It's pretty impressive, you know, when you see that. Good thing for the Dodgers, they've got Clayton Kershaw. He seems like, you know, every time he comes to the mound, he's going to be legit and do his thing. Arrieta is killing it for those in fantasy baseball. He's, you know, got his 5-0, I guess getting ready to go 6-0 soon. Are you concerned about Price? Now, the Red Sox sweeped our Yankees, and, oh, Ray, it hurts. The Yankees are really, you know, it's going to be a long season. I thought they might
Yankees
be a little bit
done
better.
But
we both said their age would catch up to them, but it's caught up so fast. And even the great bullpen, now Chapman will be back soon, but even the great bullpen, Ray, has been kind of like slipping and giving up runs. But are you, I don't know, like what, do they sort of just really go for youth and start to trade off and build this roster? Yeah.
I
kind of want to rebuild, you know?
You need young talent. You need to remember how you got those 4 out of 5 championships in the early 90s.
Gene Michael.
Granted,
you need stick, baby. Gene Michael.
Yeah, you need to draft Jeter, Posada, you know, Mariano and Pettit, make some, you know, on the margin free agents, right? Get Tino Martinez was, I guess, the big one, but then you got Chili Davis and you got David Justice midseason and you got Cecil Fielder. David Cone was a big one, but you had your core of young talent. Now, granted, in 2009, they had brought over A-Rod in 04, I guess, but they brought over Sabathia and Teixeira, and now they're at the end of their contracts. So, to me, Yankees just need to go young. You know, you don't have even a Mike Trout to build around. You know, who is your best player? Is it Ellsbury? Is it, you know, Starling Castro?
He's getting older. I mean, he's not a kid
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah, so who's your best player? I'm trying to figure out, you know, your identity. Who's your identity? Who's your best player? Who's your captain? And whoever it is, he's not young. I mean, Starlin Castro is probably the youngest of all
your
of these.
Your best player is not played yet, and that's Aroldis Chapman. He's your best player.
Hey, but he's a one-year rental, though.
Yeah, but they better keep him. He's your best player. Maybe, you know, trade one of the other guys. I mean, to me, I think he's without a doubt.
But the problem with him is he's a dependent guy, right? You got to be up in the ninth for him to even be effective. I mean, you can throw the ball 200 miles an hour. If you're not up in the ninth, it doesn't matter.
So
yeah, Yankees need to blow it up.
No, it's kind of frustrating, and it's almost, I don't want to say sad, but it you know. But look, Yankee fans, Celtics, Lakers, Canadian fans, you know, Steeler, Niner fans, you know, certain fans that have won so much, you really have no business complaining when there's organizations who've never sniffed NBA or Super Bowl or World Series. You know what I mean? So I think the Yankees, nobody's going to feel sorry for us, right? I mean,
no, absolutely not. And they shouldn't. And they shouldn't. It's sports. 100.
Nobody's like, oh, poor Yankees. But what's going on with David Price? Because the Red Sox are going good, and your boy, I got to admit, David Ortiz, I mean, if his stats project out, you know, like 320, 100 ribbies, you know, 30-some-odd home runs, he could end his final season as one of the best final seasons ever. I just don't like – I don't know. I don't know. But you tell me, what's going on with the Red Sox, David Price? Do you love Mookie Betts? Pedroia is back on fire. I mean, they put a whooping on us, Ray. That was an ugly sweep in Fenway.
And they're doing it without Pablo Sandoval, right? If he was any, you know, good and he's messed up his shoulder and he needs to have that shoulder surgery. So despite David Price's slow start, you know, they've got young talent, though. Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts. You know, like you said, Pedroia's back. Ortiz has got one last hurrah left in him. They are a team that I still think, you know, ultimately is going to win that division. Right now they're kind of neck and neck with the Orioles, with the Blue Jays kind of in shouting distance, 3.5 games back. But I think the Red Sox are the team to beat in the AL East. I mean, I have them going to the World Series, so – you know,
about the Tigers, they're starting to play some good ball. I was watching them the other day, and I'm like, wow, you know, people, you know, look, everybody knows about what KC was doing. People were hyped about the Indians and the Twins and the White Sox because they all have this great
pitching.
Well,
your White Sox have the best record in the American League, though.
Well, no, I told you. Like, I really think they were galvanized by that, you know, weird stuff with the kid and LaRoche and his son, but also just how disappointing they were last season. Do you know what I mean? They were so disappointing last season that I think they kind of all were hungry. And Sale is he can go head to head with any of the great pitchers. If you're really being fair and honest, he's up there with Clayton Kershaw. He's up there with Price. He's up there. You know what I mean? Greinke and the other guys.
Well, that's what they're saying. You know, the two Cy Youngs might be on the north side and the south side of Chicago. Arrieta and Sale could
basically
easily be the leaders in the clubhouse for AL and NL
Cy
Young.
That's what Tay predicted.
Yeah,
no.
Good job.
It would be great. But, I'm happy for the Whites. Listen, we know, right? You know, obviously, being out there, you know, in Chicago for the years you were there, it's a great sports city. They love their Bears. They love their Bulls. They love the White Sox and Cubs. You know, I mean, you could say second city, but their fanship is really second to none. And so you root for any team that's got the passionate fan base. And, you know, the White Sox, even though they've won more than the Cubs, they've kind of been the stepchild, almost like Mets Yankees, you know what I mean? So let's see what that would be. What would they call that? It's not a Subway Series. What do they call it out there? Cubs and White Sox.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, when they play interleague. Well, now they play every year, but
if it was
know.
In the World Series, what would it be?
North side, south side. I don't know.
The side series. I like that. It's the side series, Ray. So you know that's good stuff. What's going on with your boy Bryce Harper? Is he still, you know, going to carry on? You think he's slowing down a little bit?
I think Bryce Harper is going to be the Mike Trout. He's not as good as Mike Trout. I would take Mike Trout in a heartbeat. But
Trout
I think
had a rough
be
start,
one.
Though. He's playing
I
better.
Know.
Than
the first time he's had a rough start since his rookie year. I mean, this guy has really just been banging up the numbers. But just like you can pencil Mike Trout in for a top five MVP season every season, I think you can do the same for Bryce Harper. I just think he's that good, and all he needs to do is stay healthy. And remember, with this all said and done, it feels like Bryce Harper's been around forever. Isn't he like 22 or 23 years old?
Yeah, I think he turns 23 this season or something. you're right. It's almost absurd because
this is when cats are breaking into the league. And
but didn't
already,
he come to the league at like 18 or 17 right out
of
high school?
Yeah, at 16, he left his high school to get a GED qualified to play in the Vegas League. Remember, he was there. Chris Bryant was there. And there was another young stud. I forgot, there were three of them in that Vegas League. He's just a stud. I mean, this guy was just born to play baseball.
That's like pretty phenomenal to me, to see that. So, look, this was a great sports week. We'll be back on Friday. Kentucky Derby's coming. We've got the comedy, right? Last year, it was like branded the greatest sports day on that Saturday with the Pacquiao and Mayweather. So now this guy's branding anything with 50. And we both thought that he would come back. It looks like he's going to come back. I don't think he'll fight Pacquiao, but I don't know. Do you care? Does anybody?
He's going to come back for the money. He's going to come back for the money. He's also 49-0, and he's tied with Rocky Marciano, so he needs to be
50-0. Right? Like he should.
I don't blame him, but why go to the charade of retiring? I mean, like it's all a PR stunt. And
well, you know, he's
a free
agent now. He left, what was that, Top Ring or whatever boxing he was with. So now he has everybody bidding for who will represent him for this one fight. He's
right.
Sort of like Yahoo with the NFL for the internet, you know?
He's a great businessman,
right? We got to give it to him.
I feel like at a certain point it's a farce. It's like, you know what? You knew you weren't going to retire. You knew you were going to fight at 50. This was all to market and to hype at a certain point it's not genuine, you know? It's like hype the fight, but don't go in and out of retirement pretending that you were going to fight the whole time. You know what I mean? Your goal is to be 50-0 the whole time.
Yeah, I agree. So, real quick, give me one player from this NFL draft that you think maybe second round on that is going to just take over like gangbusters. Oh, did you like the Titans getting Derrick Henry? I think they had a great draft.
They did. They did. I like them, and I like him. Again, Alabama running backs have been taking a little bit of a beating recently, but they did all right. I'm going to go back to Booker in Utah. I think he's going to from Utah. I think he's going to steal the job. I think as a fourth round pick to get a starting running back. Look, Dallas is hoping to get a starting running back in Ezekiel Elliott for the next 7, 8, 9 years at number 4 overall. And this kid, Booker, is going to be, I believe, by midseason, the starting running back as a fourth-round draft pick. So that's the guy I want to see. We talked about the quarterbacks. I want to see if any of these guys pan out. I mean, starting at number 1 and number 2, I'm not that sold on Goff and Wentz. And then
what about Moneyball? What about the Browns and Moneyball? 5 wide receivers, Cody Kessler, who doesn't have a big arm in the cold. Yeah, they got some guys, but they also got some, like, weird picks. I don't know what the Browns are doing.
Yeah, well, they're trying to take baseball discipline and apply it to football. And you know what? Let's see. It's the first year, but yeah, there was some head scratching right there. I want to see also the guys who were projected to be stars but fell. So Miles Jack and Jalen Smith because of injuries.
Yeah.
Robert
Kendiche
because of, you know, whatever.
He went to the right place. That's the
Laramie
perfect place.
Laramie Tunsil also. So, you know, the guys that the professional scouts said would be one place and then ended up much lower, I'm very interested to see these guys and how they, you know, how they fulfill.
Well, you know who spoke to us on Twitter? Boomer Esiason and his Bengals. He was really impressed with Tyler Boyd, William Jackson, and then your guy who you thought might go in the first round, and a lot of other scouts and people did from NFL Network, Andrew Billings. Now, he's only first and second down. He's not a pass rusher, but to control the defensive line with Geno Atkins to get that Baylor player in the fourth round, that's a steal. The Bengals, Ravens, and Steelers, NFC North, they all have very solid drafts, Ray.
I'll dig it. I thought the Bengals should have taken a wide receiver, but you know what?
Yes.
They ended up getting it later, but that's okay. I mean,
but the Boyd kid, he's legit. He's a good receiver. So when they got him, I think they did good for themselves, you know? They did. All right. Well, look, it looks what's that Cleveland score? Are they holding on?
Yeah, hold on.
I think the Cavs got to update the fans as we get off the air. It was close.
Oh, it's close. Yeah, no, it's 79-78.
How about them Hawks, right?
Minutes. Yeah, 8:51. I thought Cleveland would run away with this series. I still do, but the Hawks, they're not going anywhere. Give them credit. And then at 9:30, Oklahoma City, San Antonio tips off. So good basketball tonight.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell everybody thanks for listening. Talking sports and friends.
We're out.